Let's read together Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. In this first section of Matthew chapter 8, we have two healing miracles of our Lord Jesus: the healing of the leper and the healing of the centurion's servant. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Let's begin our studies this morning with some background notes. The Gospel of Matthew is well known as the Gospel which presents Christ as King. You knew that, right? You have four Gospels, and Matthew presents Christ as King, Mark presents Christ as the perfect servant, Luke presents Christ as the Son of Man, and John presents Christ as the Son of God. So Matthew is well known as the Gospel which presents Christ as King. Matthew leaves no doubt that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the promised and predicted Messiah and King of the Old Testament prophecies. Isaiah, for example, prophesied that the coming Messiah would do healing miracles. I'm reading Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing." Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. Here in Matthew chapters 8 and 9, we have the record of a number of miracles that Jesus performed in fulfillment of the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. Here was conclusive evidence that the Lord Jesus was obviously and certainly the long-awaited Messiah. This wonderful display of supernatural power was proof that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the promised Messiah and Son of God. Notice from verse 1 that many of the miracles were done before large crowds. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. The mountain here is the mountain where our Lord gave the Sermon on the Mount, which was covered in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of this gospel. Notice that great multitudes followed the Lord. So large numbers of people were eyewitnesses of many of the miracles of Christ. This is good evidence, by the way, for the accuracy of the record. It's pretty hard to make up miracles and say that many people observed them if they never took place, right? People don't accept records like this as true unless there's some credible evidence for the miracles. The miracles of Jesus were accepted as historical fact right from the beginning, even by those who opposed him. And more we could say there. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first section of Matthew chapter 8. Doctrinal or teaching point number 1. The Lord Jesus can cleanse from leprosy. The Lord Jesus can cleanse from leprosy. Let me ask you this morning, would you touch a leper? Would you touch a leper? Notice from verse 3 that Jesus reached out and touched this poor, disfigured leper. You know, the parallel account in Luke chapter 5 says that this man was full of leprosy. Remember, Luke was a doctor. The Lord Jesus had compassion on this outcast of society and reached out and touched him. I wonder how long it had been since this man had felt a compassionate human touch. Lepers in the Bible had to live in their own communities outside the city. They had to call out, "Unclean, unclean," when anyone approached. Under the Old Testament law, there was a procedure that had to be followed if ever there was a possible cleansing of leprosy. Read about this in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. As far as the biblical record goes, there were only two lepers cleansed in the Old Testament. Do you remember who they were? Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, and Naaman, the Syrian military commander. In verse 4, we read that the Lord instructed the cleansed leper not to broadcast his healing, but to go to the high priest and show himself. Go to the high priest in accordance with the law. Well, you can imagine the surprise of the high priest and other priests when this former leper showed up to be declared clean. Can you imagine? They had never seen anything like this before. But the miracle could not be denied. Here was the Lord's calling card to the whole priesthood. The Messiah had arrived. Now, this wonderful miracle, of course, has its spiritual teaching for us. The Lord Jesus can cleanse from the leprosy of sin. Leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. I think most of you knew that. Just as leprosy was a disease that was loathsome and infectious and incurable apart from a miracle, so is sin a disease that leads to death. But Jesus can cleanse a person from the disease of sin. Notice the leper's faith in verse 2. Lord, you can make me clean. You know, that's all it takes to be cleansed from the disease of sin. Because Jesus is willing to cleanse. Verse 3. I am willing. Be cleansed. When a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and acknowledges his or her sin and asks for salvation, a miracle takes place. That person is now a forgiven sinner and born again with new life in Christ, eternal life. The Lord Jesus can cleanse from leprosy. Everybody see the teaching included in this miracle? The wonderful teaching concerning salvation. Doctrinal point number 2. The Lord Jesus can heal with a word. The Lord Jesus can heal with a word. Verses 5 through 13. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Before we look at this miracle, what did Jesus mean in verses 11 and 12? Many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What did our Lord mean by that? He meant that many Gentiles from around the world, from east and west, like this Roman centurion, would become believers and enter the kingdom of heaven by faith. At the same time, many of the sons of the kingdom, verse 12, that is the Jewish people, would end up in hell because of unbelief. This truth is certainly taught in the rest of Scripture. The most amazing aspect of this healing miracle is that it was done from a distance. The Lord Jesus did not have to come and lay hands on the paralyzed man, this paralyzed servant of the centurion. He just spoke the word, and the centurion's servant was healed that same hour. A centurion, by the way, was a Roman military officer in charge of 100 men. This centurion would have been stationed in Israel. He showed unusual compassion here as a Roman soldier. He was concerned about his sick servant, and he came to Jesus. He showed great faith when he addressed Jesus as Lord and believed that if Jesus just spoke the word, the servant would be healed. Let me ask you this morning, can the Lord heal with a word today? Of course he can. Now, this doesn't mean that every believer who is sick will be healed. And it doesn't mean that those who are not healed don't have enough faith. No. But this miracle does teach that as Jesus healed from a distance then, he can do so today. Healers and healing services are not necessary for healing. The centurion simply asked the Lord to heal his servant, and the Lord did so from a distance. The Lord can certainly answer our prayers for healing in the same way today. The Lord Jesus can heal with a word. Practical application. Do we have great faith? Do we have great faith? The Lord Jesus said that the centurion had great faith. Verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Why did the Lord Jesus say that this centurion had great faith? Because the centurion understood authority. He understood that the one who has the power of authority is in charge and gives the orders, and the orders are obeyed. We see that in what he said, "For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." This centurion understood authority and authority structures. The Lord marvels at this, says this man has great faith. He believed that the Lord was sovereign and had the power of authority. Let me ask you this morning. Let me ask myself this morning. Do we have great faith? Do we really believe that God is all-powerful and sovereign and in control of all things? All he has to do is speak a word, and his will is carried out. Whether it be our health or financial security, or some other problem that we are facing, the Lord knows all about it, and he is in authority, and he can speak a word if it's his will. And the prayer is answered. Do we really believe this? Do we have great faith?